Okay, good evening everybody, and I think we'll pick up I've stressed the past couple of weeks that we are an LL. Not only are we an LL, but we're about to join the Sfardim. The Sfardim have been, you know, especially, I always appreciate Amachad, you know, when you're in larger cities, so everyone's in their own shoals, in their own corners, and the bigger you get, the more homogenous the shul is. You can have literally everyone dresses the same, everyone talks the same. You know, if you're in New York, you have not just only Hasidic shuls, you have only Satmar, only Chabad, only Bills, only Bobov. And there's a mila, there's a plus of that. You know, it's good to, you know, be with people that you relate to and you can grow together. But there's also a plus of being exposed to differences and enjoying that. So I always, Amachad, you felt a little in a different way even early on because you had the Sfaradim already saying Slichot, and their Slichot, of course, is very repetitive and they do it much more out loud than we do it. But we're about to join them and we're about to have a higher experience in Elul. And a lot of what we're going to say in Slichas is, especially for the men who are going to be saying Slichas, is to ask forgiveness and be cognizant of the actions we did. What I've stressed is that that's very important, but it's not just that. It's you know, we're in Elul, we're supposed to pick up our game. Now is the opportunity. Before Rosh Hashanah, there's a special time called Aseres Yemei Tshuva, but right now, to quote the Baal HaTanya, it's Hamelech Basada, the king is in the field. Right now, it's an opportunity to put on our best front before we're judged on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, we're going to be judged, and there's, you just have to look at the news. Even this afternoon, a person can be a public figure, be shot dead in front of couple thousand people. I mean, it for just his political views, whatever those views would be, it's irrelevant. It's really a time where we think about, that was the side last Rosh Hashanah, that was my point, is that it's time we should be thinking about getting ourselves, it's much merit, schosim, ahead of Rosh Hashanah, not waiting until Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, we come in the best possible situation for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. As I stressed, and I'm just going to reiterate, and we'll pick up. Literally, everything is in line. I don't feel like I say this enough. I know I've said it a couple weeks in a row, but when a person is cognizant of that, but I know somebody that I'm close to this week had a terrible diagnosis, and a rov, older than me, but. Terrible diagnosis and Parnassa, Eretz Yisrael. Like, we're watching, you know, in a week from now, a lot of these European countries are going to try to declare Palestine a state in the United Nations. So, which there's not, the state of Hamas, you know, that's essentially what it would be. They're naive to believe if there's no state to be declared, there's no land that's designated for it, there's no reality to it, but it just increases the pressure. But if it would be a state, just like when Israel pulled out of Gaza, Hamas was overwhelmingly voted in, and Hamas would win an election today, even after everything that's happened in 2 years. Look at any poll in the West Bank and see who would win an open election of a state, right? It's funny, because the European says Hamas will have no reality. They're so... They're so naive, it's beyond belief. What do they think that Hamas? So you want them not to have democracy there? If they'd ever have a democracy there, if they'd have any open vote, they would vote in a terrorist state 50 meters away from Jerusalem. That's what would happen. Okay, so Netanyahu, any Israeli leader, any Jew cares about the Jewish people, will never let that happen. In the reality today, if there would be something to discuss, there's nothing to discuss today. There's zero results, right? I'm not saying this to get into a whole discussion about the realities of the Middle East, but I am stressing that literally right before, right around Rosh Hashanah, They're going to have nations of the world. These nations, by the way, have their own immense issues. Their own immense social issues with large Muslim brotherhood populations in their own countries. And they're going to try to hurt the Jewish people. So they're going to try to pressure us and libel us. Just like, you know, the claim of genocide, which is the biggest false lie, canard blood libel. And to the extent there is anything going on there at all, it's all Hamas and their cronies. So why am I here for a news report? But I am here to tell you that the Chilul Hashem, the desecration of Hashem, what's going to happen with the Jewish people, what's going to happen with all, it's going to be Sarash Hashanah. There's so much on the line. And we should be thinking every free moment what we can do before Rosh Hashanah. Right? Just like I said, and this is, if you think about it, and if a person contemplates this and cogitates this, anyone would admit it, if you would have a trial in a few days from now, which would determine if you would keep your house and your job, you would look for any angle and discovery and merit an argument to do that. If a person would know that, God forbid, their life would be over in 10 days from now, but for a miracle, they would do everything they can. And so Rosh Hashanah really is knocking on our doors. And as I said, this is something chesed, actually, the Gemara, we're not there yet, but the Gemara will discuss that staka tatzlim, that is charity saves a person from death. Chesed saves a person from death. Chesed saves a person from bad judgments. Chesed transforms a person to a better person, brings a person bracha and blessing, as we've been elaborating on, and we're going to get to the details in a few weeks from now. But last week, the Chafetz Chaim, after stating that if chesed's so integral, of doing acts of kindness, helping people, right, looking whatever we could to make people's lives better, is such a, not a nice thing, such a schos, a merit, and we're supposed to love it. Right? The name of this work is Ahavas Chesed. Not doing acts of kindness, to love doing acts of kindness. When a person loves acts of kindness, it's transformative. So why would a person not do that? It brings them the greatest blessing. Hashem loves you. You're a beloved Jew. It brings you blessing in this world. It atones for a person's sins. So says the Chafetz Chaim, why don't people do that? Why? Or if they do that, it's half-baked. They feel like they're doing somebody a favor. They're helping somebody. As opposed to they. The giver is the biggest recipient, by the way. This is so stressed. Eternally, even in this world, when you give, you get the most. When you give, you get the most. That's the Chafetz Chaim says. Like, well, if that's the case, why aren't people doing more chesed? And why when they do chesed, it's they give a face, they're not so happy, they grumble, they do it half-hearted. Why is that? And so the Chafetz Chaim points out, number one reason, lack of clarity. They don't understand what they're doing. By the way, leave it on Torah, the same thing. We had Chafetz Chaim, his whole works on study of Torah. Person can be there at night, and they're studying Torah, and all of a sudden they get a stupid conversation. Like, even about the shooting today. You know, why do you have to be a news reporter in the middle of your learning? I'm not saying you should know the news, you know what to daven for. All right? But what in the world in the middle of learning would you do that for? If you don't appreciate learning, you won't go at night, and I never meant to forget this. If somebody told me, this guy has no time for learning. Then, in a separate conversation, his wife tells me about him. He spends hours of night, looking at the news on the internet. Of course he has no time for learning. Are you out of your mind? Are you wasting your life looking at all the news? You have to go through Google News and every single news report? What do you accomplish? So, but why would this person do this? First of all, you all know I'm interested in current events, right? I'm not. I can go. I can bring me onto Newsmax, bring me onto CNN. I have no problem, right? But this is not the priority of life. This ain't it. Hey, this guy doesn't understand. He doesn't have the clarity what learning Torah is. It means when you learn Torah, it's forever. And you're a better Jew in this world. You live a more bracha on this world. So it's lack of clarity. So the Chametz Chaim started last week, and we're going to pick up. Going through the parshas just to show how much of an emphasis there is on chesed. So actually, we did the first few, we did from Bereishis to Vayeren, and now the parshas Chesed. By the way, he's not going to go through all the parshas of the Torah, in case you're curious. He will start skipping, but he's trying to make a point, the Chametz Chaim. The Torah begins with chesed that we started by Adam and Chava's wedding. And not just chesed, Hashem doing the chesed. That's the Medrash says. Hashem gets Adam and Chava prepared for the wedding. And Hashem, at the end of the five books of Moshe, buries Moshe. From the beginning to the end, the five books of Moshe are Malah v'Gadosh, filled with a concept of chesed. Says in Parshas Chayisara, Gam ken Malaya Mimidus Chesed. It's also filled all about Chesed. B'tchil, we learn Chayisara, Ma'ari B'inyan Ashtadlis. We learn about how Avraham buried Sarah and how challenging they had to buy Maris Machpelah from a swindler named Ephraim. V'hesped, and how he eulogized her. Oh, it's all Chesed. The Chesed to bury somebody, a Chesed to eulogize somebody, to memorialize somebody, to make. To care about them. And by the way, Kabbalistically, of course, the soul hears that spadim. They're connected to the body at that time. After the Torah elaborates upon, when we made the Shidduch of Rivka v'Yitzchak, Eliezer, and why was Rivka picked? What Rivka, everyone on this phone call, all of us, everyone in the Zoom, everyone who are here, this is Jewish, right? All of us are descendants of Rebecca. All of us are descendants of Rivka. She marries Yitzchak. She marries Isaac. She will become the mother and the matriarch of the Jewish people that where the Messiah comes from, where Moses comes from, Moses, King David, you name it. We're all from Rivka. Every single Yid. What was so outstanding about Rivka? Why did Eliezer recognized this must be the wife of Yitzhak, the only legitimate son for the Yerusha of Abraham? What was so amazing about her? Well, it was chesed, right? He showed it to me. As Rashi elucidates, Ruya he lo, Rivka, Rebecca, is appropriate for Yitzhak because she tia gomalas chesedim. And this lady is Rei Kulich Lissa Shavim Avinu. She's Roy, appropriate for the house of Avram. Avram was a man of Chesed. B'shishi, and later on that same Parshas Chayisara, Pasuk Test, V'yikbru Oysa Yitzchak Yishmael Beno. Of course, Yitzchak and Yishmael bury Avraham, Abraham. V'yana Pasuk Yiralav. After, it says, V'yivarach Elokim Yitzchak Beno. Hashem blessed, gave Yitzhak a blessing, so to speak. Kaviyach Hashem was Menachem. Hashem comforted Yitzhak. He gave him a special blessing because Yitzhak was mourning for his father. Kamo Shamu Chazal, as a sages point out, and also in the next parsha, in a couple of parshas, excuse me, in Vayetze, it says V'yidu Yaakov Neder Lemor, and Yaakov made a Neder. This is when Yaakov is forced to run away from Esav, who's trying to kill him after he got the blessings. And Rivka tells Yaakov, run to Padan Aram, go to my brother. And Yaakov is leaving. And what does Yaakov say as he leaves the land of Israel? V'chol asher titen God, he's leaving with nothing. He was everything he had was taken away from Eliphaz, the son of Esav. And Yaakov says, whatever I'm going to do there, I'm going to tithe it. I'm going to give a miser of whatever I get. And also, Meiser is chesed. You know, you use a tenth, you give to other people, share with other people. The Parshas Vayishlach, and Vayishlach talks about the burial of Devorah, who was Rivka's meineches. Rivka says a lot about the right thing. I gave a drusher at least once, maybe twice, about her significance many years ago. But Rivka was buried. Again, a chesed to bury a person. Always to care about a person, to be involved in that. Pasuk Yud Aleph, V'yar Elokim El Yaakov Oid, V'bo Mibat Parma Ram, of Yevarcha. So also there, because of course Rachel passes away, and God blesses him to give, Shem blesses Yaakov to give him a nechama, a comfort. And there, about talks also about the burial of Rachel, the matziva, which we today go to Kever Rachel because we know where Rachel is buried, and that's a chesed to the dead and a chesed to the living. Remember, if you put you're involved in burying the dead, it's a chesed, it's an act of kindness to the deceased and all the relatives, all the friends, all the future descendants. Like, you can know where they're buried. You can go to them. You can appreciate where they are. They're buried. We're not going to discuss this now, but many years ago, I brought in Rabbi Doron Kornbluth to San Jose to discuss cremation. And I schlepped him around San Francisco, Palo Alto, San Jose. He spoke, and really, it had decent attendance, but a lot of publicity, which was worth more, to be honest. It was the cover of the J News, had a big article there. And one of the things that was cremation, I was interviewed, and I said, and this is very true, I have never heard a person cry or upset that they decided to bury a relative. I many, many times heard, especially if relatives become observant or traditional or they're family-oriented, people cry that their relatives were cremated. There's nothing to go to, nothing to see. Besides the damage that does eternally to the soul if a person chooses to be cremated knowledgeably, with knowledge. But for the family, you bury somebody, they have a place to connect to their relatives. And again, that's on an emotional level. On a spiritual level, there's a deep connection there. There's a deep connection there. You bury somebody, it's an eternal chesed. For the grandchildren, the great-great-great-great-grandchildren, you're involved, the chesed continues. And that, I'm just stressing it because people think it's a light, not what's the big deal. It's a gevaldik, it's a great deal. The pasuk also, the Yitzchak gets buried in pasuk of Tes, and then Parshas Vayeshev, Vayukumu kol banav v'chol b'nos l'nachmo. Right, everyone tries to comfort Yaakov when Yosef goes missing. Not dead, but right, they thought he was dead, but everyone's comforting him. They want to take care of their father. V'yamin Yeruv v'Yehuda, both of them trying to save Yosef in different ways. Sell him, don't kill him. Uchopirish Rashi v'chanamaisa the Tamar. Tamar, the whole story of Yehuda. Again, I'm not going through all the biblical stories, all the Torah, the stories of Torah, because that's not our point right now. The Chatz Chaim is just elaborating and delineating things that we can learn in the Torah to see the essence of Torah. Chesed. And Tamar is going to bow to be, she's accused of acting inappropriately. Really, she had, it was Yehuda who was somewhat off. She was supposed to have had Yibam. She was supposed to have married Yehuda's son after the first two sons died due to their sins. She ultimately has a child with Yehuda. Yehuda doesn't realize it's her, thinks she's a harlot, gonna have her burnt. And she, instead of say, Yehuda, it was you, she kind of puts her life on the line and kind of reminds Yehuda not to embarrass him in that way. That's chesed. You could humiliate a person, you could try to remind them or help them in a way where you don't hurt them. Bechem Shvi. Kimsakatani Atach Yosef, what does he say? Listen to the language of Yosef. Yosef interprets the dreams. It's actually a good review. It's like a review of all the Chumash over here. Right? But right? Yosef interprets the dreams of the Sar Mashkim and the Sar Ha'ifas. The Sar Mashkim, the butler, will end up living, as opposed to the baker, the king and the butler, the chief of the butlers is also the chief of the bakers. And when Yosef tells him, you're going to go back to Paro, he says to him this verse, Kim Zechartani, you should remember me, Oyscha Kashayita Lach, Asasa Naimadi Chesed, you should do a chesed and remind Paro about me. I told you, do a chesed for me. Help me get out. I'm a falsely accused person. I was stolen from my people. I was sold unfair. I was accused of false things. Get me out of here. Right? It's a chesed to care about other people and to help them. And Yosef calls it that. It's also chesed. L'haskish l'toiva. And also part of that chesed is to remember people for the good. U'l'shabeach, and to praise them. Someone who has a job, and they deserve the job. It's not a chesed to hurt somebody in the process. Give someone a job they can't do. But someone could get a job and they're good for it. Praise them from the person who can hire them. Someone wants to get a shidduch, you praise them in front of someone if it's appropriate. To praise people in front of it, as we'll actually Chavetz Chaim points out, we'll learn all about this. We'll learn about how to help people, how to praise people, how to chesed. But in the meantime, he's just going through all these parshas. If Parshas Miketz, it says, this is why the brothers, they have no idea that Yosef, who's the viceroy of Egypt right now, and they came for to buy things. Of course, he sets up this elaborate plan to cause them to tshuva, to repent. In the process, when he sends them home, he gives them tzeda l'derech. He gives them food for the way. Right? He's found something for them. My wife is great. This whenever you have a sleeping guest who's flying out, she like gives him dessert. She gives like another flight. Make sure they have a sandwich. You know, just send somebody off. You give them something to eat. Especially by us. Keep kosher. You think the airports have like sandwiches? You know, in some places, like in LaGuardia, I always see there's a place at JFK. They have, you can buy kosher sandwiches, but it's not a home baked. It's like sitting there in a freezer. Like, you know, it's not the same. You take care of your guests. You see, Yosef sends the brother off with food. See the Talmud and Sanhedrin. Parshish Vayigras. When Yosef told me the Anshim at Sami, Kulumi and Chesed, Shabin Ish, Lurieo, Shetzarech, Lirois, you have to see that people are taken care of, right? And people are supported. It bothers you. You care about people to make sure they can live. Mihai Koif of Lestri Shtala Knaisam, Ilo Dabrazel, Yosef, you know, did things. You see there with the famine, and it spread just to help people. Also, Parshas Vayechi, the last Parsha in Bereishis. Well, I'm just going to throw all Bereishis over here very quickly. It says, also, see there, coming out of Chesed, lots of Chesed. Ki Bahem Nisparash P'tiras Yaakov, talks about the burial of Yaakov. That's a Chesed, very person. The crying for him is a Chesed. Actually, to cry for a Tzaddik is a tremendous Indian, a very big S'chus merit. Hespedo, they eulogized Yaakov. They carried his mita, his bier, his coffin, Vavasa, they escorted him all the way to the land of Israel, they traveled with him. All that's chesed. Kvo shekasva asiasi imadi, chesed emes, Yaakov himself tells his children, do for me kindness and truth, as Rashi explains. In the beginning of Shmos, imagine this, your Yocheved and Miriam. Again, this is the most of Sefer is not functioning like this at all. But he's trying just to prove the point we've been discussing. Yochevan and Miriam, they're under Paro, okay? B'tzirena ha-mayoldos, their decree is, you midwives, kill the Jewish children at birth. Don't make an announcement. We don't have any rebellion over here. Kill them when they're born. Look at the chesed that Miriam Yochevan did. They put their lives on the line. Ki alo yabechaltan. They could have said, we can't do this, right? The first of us, all the middle of us, will, they'll no longer be midwives. They won't do it. Or even if they had to give us, you know, they don't have to do it. Actually, rear us, but they wanted to keep the position. Why? They were scared. If they don't do it, somebody else will do it, and they'll do the wrong thing. I always, I'm just, not to my own horn, but I looked at this as a chesed in Kiddush Hashem. When I was a Rav, even today, I have different opportunities today, not this as much. But as a Rav in San Jose, I very often would get requests from universities, San Jose State, Santa Clara, De Anza, especially De Anza for a reason, you know, and others, anthropology, comparative religion classes, to interview me. I always took those interviews. I had high schools, Christian evangelical. I mean, those, you know, stories about those type of groups. But, because they try to convert you and then you just kill them, but in a nice way. But I want to do that. I don't think I'm not a busy person. I don't think I do better in my time. I did it first of all because a lot of these kids were curious, possibly there's a Jewish kid there. But also, I did not want them going to Temple Sinai or Temple Emmanuel or Temple Shir Chadash, any of those places, because they would have heard everything that Judaism is not. And I wanted to hear what Judaism is. If we're talking about comparative religion or anthropology, they need to, if they're learning what a Jew is and a Jew is not. So I did that for truth, but also as a chesed for the Jewish people. Why in the world would I want a bunch of Gentiles who are asking to learn that all kinds of things which are not true? That Judaism believes in abortion, right? I still remember looking at the Jewish Silicon Valley, someone wrote an article in a Reformed temple about a prayer and a mikveh service before you get an abortion. Like, what a mitzvah you're doing in Tikkun Olam to do an abortion. Like, I need these people to hear that. I need people to hear that you can be trans and you're doing it, you're affirming yourself and that's what the Torah wants. Or worse types of things. You know, there's no oral law, the Torah is just a fairy tale. I think I wanted, that's a chesed. I took my own time that a Jew should not have people wrong oppression. They would have went somewhere else. I know they would have. But we all have this type of thing. I'm just giving you a small response, which you would never even think of being chesed. But I did it for that, for that reason. Obviously, I wasn't putting my life online like these ladies, but they put their life online, right? Because if they didn't do it, somebody else may have dropped the ball. And they would have killed Yiddish Kinder, Jewish children. Okay, it's chastu. They did a chastu for Bnei Yisrael. Master Atzal the Sakan Shvil. The Oy Lo Shai must speak his mind. Not only that, not only put life. They even took care of them afterwards for the poor who didn't have any food or water to care of themselves and their children after childbirth. They took care of them. Again, putting their life on the line. Uvishlishi v'yetzel achiv. We know Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest person to ever walk on this earth, the greatest Navi, the greatest prophet. We have Torah's Moshe, the Torah of Moshe. Moshe, of course, is a human being, the greatest level, the greatest prophecy level, human just like you and I, but he reaches levels that we can't compare. What's our introduction to Moses? What's our introduction to Moshe? It is the Yetzel Achiv, becomes an older teenager. He goes out to his brother. He's living in the house of Paramosha and the Yarbis of Loisam. And he goes out and sees his brothers and sisters who are slaves. And he sees their pain. That's the Shalom Aleichem. That's the welcome the Torah gives about Moshe Rabbeinu. That he goes out to his brothers for Yarbis of Loisam. Hanush Nasan, this is actually Rashi says this. This is a Medrash Chazal. Hashem Nasan Libo, he put his heart. Lias Meitzer V'Dayagalem. To think about them. He's thinking about them. I am, he's living in a house, this Jew is homeless. I'm living in a house, this Jew is in somewhere in Israel, you know, in the south or north, feeling uncomfortable or dated. I learned Torah, this rabbi, the Yarbis of Loisam, when I looked, that's how I began Moshe Rabbeinu. That means the Cheshit, Sharech Adam, a person says the Chavetz Chaim, has to think, l'spoinen, contemplate, but Tzaras Chaviro. With his friends, difficulties, challenges, pains, ulai, perhaps, yochol ha'ashiyu b'dvarma, perhaps you can alleviate it in some sort, or some way, in some form or fashion. Pasuk Yubeis, right? V'yachas ha'mitzvah, what happens to Moshe? He's still the prince, right? And he's in the Paro's house, and then he sees an Egyptian taskmaster beating a Jew, and Moshe himself kills his taskmaster. Why? To save this Jew. And that, of course, changes Moshe's whole life. And he's forced to flee for the next almost 80 years to Midian, having all kinds of things. Pasuk Yudches, Luzan. Then he gets to Midian, and he sees his future wife, Tzipporah, the daughters of Yisro, being attacked, because Yisro had left idolatry, and he was unpopular in Midian. And the Yaakov Moshe V'Yoshia, and the Pasuk Yates, they go freeze the word. Which we almost done, by the way. I hope it's not getting too much. I mean, I'm enjoying the review of Chumash, but I think I want to skip over here because all these lessons are important. Uveshvi Pasuk Yedalad Veiko Shachiv Bnei Yisrael. The Jewish taskmasters took a beating for the Jews. They were not able to get up all of the demands of Paro. So Paro blamed these Jews. By the way, they became Jewish leaders afterwards. He blamed them for not getting the Jewish people to do the amount he demanded, this astronomical amount. And these taskmasters, instead of whipping the Jews, they took the beating. They themselves took the burden for the Jewish people. Parshas Bashalach. What Moshe Rabbeinu, they're all leaving Egypt. Everyone's getting money and gold and silver for Jews, which is their mitzvah to do the commandment to do as they're leaving Egypt to leave finally after 210 years of slavery in Egypt. What is Moshe going to do? Moshe run to get the bones of Yosef, to get Yosef out of Mitzrayim. And for that, by the way, why did Moshe get Yosef at this last moment? Because Yosef himself was the one who personally buried, who made sure Yaakov Avinu was buried. And it says, but when they crossed the Red Sea, the split Red Sea, the Reed Sea, Yamsuf, what does the Pasuk say? We say it every day in Azar Shir. Zeh Keli Vanveu. At the highest level of prophecy, when they see this tremendous, they'd be higher on Sinai, but this tremendously high level, they literally saw unbelievable things the Midrashim talk about. What do the Jewish people say at that moment? Zeh Keli Vanveu. This is my God, and I will exalt him. The Talmud says in Shabbos, Abashal Oimer, Have a What does it mean we're going to exalt God? We're going to be like God. Mahu chan racham, just like Hashem is compassionate and merciful. Af ata hayo chan racham. We'll do that. And veo is ani vehu. And veo is the answer. Ani vehu. I will be like Hashem. O parshas Yisro. Right? After Mashach Yisro. V'yetzi Moshe kas chayisno. Moshe goes out to greet his father. Now Moshe has taking the Jewish people out of Egypt. They're out of Egypt. He's the bona fide leader of millions of people in the desert, 3 million approximate people. And his father, Yisro, comes. Moshe goes out to greet him, gives him honor. The Jewish people go out in honor. And then it talks about all the way Moshe honored Yisro. Then Pasachaf, Odat Amanderech. Yisro now does chesed, telling Jewish people advice on how to do things. Aseres HaDibros, when they get the Ten Commandments, V'oiseh chesed la'alofim. We talk about you do chesed for the masses. If you can do something to help the Jewish people, something on a mass scale, you should do it. You should definitely do it, if you can. V'mishpatim, im kesef talves ami. I would say it's kesef talves ami. V'pasuk advice, lending money, laws about avot, which is security payments, or mitzvot tzedaka, as it says, which is kind of par har Sinai. So much thing is chesed, kigon geulas krovim, you should redeem if your brother ends up being enslaved because of chayich chamama. V'acher kach is bonanti, and afterwards says the Chavetz Chaim, I thought about it. Should be emes, in truth, ein keitz in yari chesed, it's never ending how chesed. Kikama the mitzvahs themselves. Kikama v'kama mitzvahs asa v'chan lavan. The positive and negative mitzvahs. But Torah, the whole, when you think about it, this positive commandment, this not to this negative, it's revolving around chesed. Going dinei leket, shircha peah, all these agricultural laws of things that fall down for the poor or designated for the poor. Meister Oni in the third and sixth year to give an extra tithe to the poor, Shemitah, where the poor or anyone can take the sabbatical. Besides, we know that the poor get it. Hashavas Aveda, you want my son Shlomo Yezer, is in fifth grade. This kid is Baruch Hashem. He's about to learn Shalom Gemara. Where is he going to start learning? Bava Metzia, and what parak and Bava Metzia start learning? Eila Metzias, lost objects. That's how many yeshivas, the little boys start at a young age learning Eila Metzias, all about returning lost objects. Why? Because I walked in the street and I have to go find the owner. It's my responsibility. Yeah, it's your responsibility. You know, there's a simon and then all the laws. Why should I have to go find the owner? I have no idea. I'm living in the middle of so-and-so. Let me tell you, Chatzah. I think I said this story. I'm still so amazed. My first year in Eretz Yisrael as a bacher, it was over 30 years ago. I was 17. It's crazy. 17 or 18? It was 17. I have to remember. Because I went early. I always joke, but I skipped 12th grade. Never graduated high school. Law school, I graduated, but not high school. So, I lost my wallet with my credit card, money, this, my insurance, and I was in Eretz Yisrael, so I was on a bus, I left there, I realized right after, and a few hours later, I get a call from Tel Aviv. I was in Shalayim, and some lady had tracked me down, an Israeli lady, through my insurance card. I had something called AIM, which is an American Israel medical insurance. If you're American in yeshivas, you get this kind of insurance. It still exists. And I know it exists because I've had three girls go to seminary. And I paid for this insurance. And this lady tracked me down, found my number. I don't know. I still look back. This is before cell phones. But this is in the dark ages. Namish, before cell phones. Okay, before Silicon Valley was, had anything of the technology we're using right now. This lady found me, tracked me down, and told me she has my wallet. She's living in Tel Aviv. So, I don't have that much money, but I decided I was going to get it. I traveled to South Tel Aviv. It was actually a poor neighbor in Tel Aviv. This is also, by the way, 33 years ago, this is before Israel became a technology center. They had really poor neighborhoods in Tel Aviv. And there's an older Sephardic couple. They had sit out their table of fruits and nuts and all kinds of stuff. Now the truth is, if I go there today, I would spend an hour with these people, just make them feel the best people. I stayed 20 minutes at the time. I was younger. But I would have told them they're the best people in the whole world. But I was even then at 17 or 18, I'm trying to remember what it was. I was so impressed. They were poor, and they were so happy that to not return my wallet, that they hunted me down to get my wallet back to me. They had all kinds of food to welcome me. So we look at it. I'm walking in the street. I got to go find some lost object. Why are they wearing careful with their wallet? Keep it in your pocket. Or if I see I have better things, I'm busy. You don't understand, I'm busy. I got to work. I got to learn. I got to dive in. I got stuck on guys not going through here and there. I don't feel so good. I got to exercise. It's a mitzvah, actually. It's a chesed. Chesed. You have to care about Jewish money, even a pruta, the trek to return it, even if it wouldn't be a while with a little money in it, a trinket. You see an animal. Falkol, who? All of an animal who has too much load, a person needs to unload it or put it on, is struggling those days. Right? You walk by a person, a lady, she's struggling to carry her bags or groceries up the stairs, or a man, an older man, whatever it may be. You help them out, you just walk by them. Yeah, you help them out. You see someone struggling to get the luggage into the car, you help them out. But call him inside. All of this, the Torah says, Tuva v'chasa tzivanu gam kem le'ezer re'enu. We the name of the game is to help a yid in any way that you can. Okay, manatis atzmi. I'm holding back. I can keep going. The Chafetz Chaim says there's many, 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 many more examples, but I'm going to hold myself back because it will go on forever. But maskil is smart. But a person who's smart will understand. The komasha rachel alamayla. She came. She called kach galdo kedush misa chesed. The Torah is so much chesed, it's called Torah Melemizah. Torah is filled with this. Kama Yeshul Adam, how much a person has to be. Well, we're starting for tonight, which is about done. Mi'asa Kedushas have to hang on to this holy thing of chesed. Sholes Rapa Yismimeno, not to slacken with it, calling on him all our days. Ashu Chai Al Ha'adama, they are living. V'zeksiva Torah, that was the Torah tells us, Parsha Shoftim, V'leches v'drachav kol hayamim. Go this way all the days of your life. Then she's stopping mashos. Oh, I did chesed last week. Chesed 2 days ago. No, every day. Yidlis is chesed. As he says, I'll explain on Chelik Beis, Perchet Beis. He lives with chesed always. But in Elul, with Rosh Hashanah knocking on our doors less than 2 weeks away, when we pick up next week, we'll be in the middle of slichas. Right? We need to run for chesed. The Torah, when we taught Avram and Yitzhak and Rivka and all of and Moshe and all, it's for us to learn from. It's for us to aspire to. When the Jewish people say Zekeli Vanveo, that's what we're looking at to do. That's throughout the year. But in Elul, Al-Achas Kama V'Kama, where Hashem wants to see our greatness, we shouldn't just be learning this. Again, it's so appropriate that we're learning. We should be applying this. Right? This is we're not learning for academic degrees of what this book says. The point of learning this is to apply it in our lives. And as we always say, Chesed starts at home. If you have a spouse, or if you have children, start there. If you're lucky to have your parents around, start there. And then you can expand shul, community, friends, Jewish people, the world. And that's what all of us, you, our friends, our family, our community, the world should have. We're going to pick up next week to be slichas. And next week we're going to talk about the loss of not doing chesed, so the plus two. And then we'll get to more of the details of how to do the chesed itself. Okay? Wishing everyone a good Shabbos, b'suras tovas, and lots of opportunities to do.